The Praying with the Eyes podcast, episode 41. What's so great about the Bible? Starts now.
Many Christians struggle to make time for reading the Bible.
They don't know where to begin or why it's important.
And once they do start reading it, the message is confusing.
In this episode of Praying with the Eyes podcast, Pastor Doug Bronner and I, Rochelle Hecker, talk about the importance of the Bible's message and what motivates us to read it.
We'll even share with you our joys and struggles with reading the Bible.
Welcome to the Praying with the Eyes podcast. Your hosts are Doug Bronner, Senior Pastor at Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and Rochelle Hecker, Mom and Public Speaker. As an avid photographer, Doug combines the beauty of God's creation with the beauty of His Word in a Praying with the Eyes devotional blog. Today's discussion digs deeper into a topic that was first introduced in one of these blogs. Thanks again for tuning in to today's podcast.
It's been a while since Rochelle has been with us on a podcast. Been a month, in fact. So, Rochelle, let's catch up. How was your Christmas?
I just have to be honest here. Christmas was hard this year. We had a kind of a rough, bumpy Christmas, but it was okay.
you did spend time again at Snowball Express. How'd that go?
That's always good. It's always exhausting because it's basically days from 6 a.m. to midnight every day for 4 or 5 days. Well, but it's filled with fun and things to do.
And I was going to say, the few videos that you had posted of it seemed like it's always high energy. It's just a lot of activity. And you're an introvert.
Right. It's an extroverted thing. And actually, my son's an extrovert, but me and the other daughter that went were introverts. So it is kind of hard. We get tired. But yeah, it's very focused on keeping everybody moving and excited, and it's crowded.
I was going to say, that was one of the questions I had for before. Now, you've done this for how many years? You've been going for how many years?
11 years.
Okay, so in 11 years, have you seen, is it growing because of the number of families that have had the loss of someone in the military, or is it?
It's actually very interesting because, one, it is growing somewhat, and probably next year we won't go to allow new families because they have to limit the number of families that go. Okay. So it's our turn. This year we went because it was my daughter's last eligible year. She'll be too old next year.
Oh, I didn't realize there was an age eligibility on it.
Yeah, it only goes till 18, senior year of high school, then your age out. So that's why we went, but we'll probably sit it out. But the other thing I've noticed, there are new families coming in, so some young, but overall the kids are aging. So when we started, it was, and they've also changed the age range. When we started, my son was 2 and he was able to go.
Okay.
Now I think they have to be 5 and up, but most of them are older teens, high schoolers now is the majority, as opposed to it used to be lots of little kids. So the types of things they're interested in, the connecting they do is very different now.
And Gary Sinise was back?
Gary Sinise was back. He is always there. He's a huge supporter, both financially and physically, of the thing. So
it's, and from your pictures you sent, it seems like he really interacts with the children.
He super interacts. As a matter of fact, this year it was kind of funny because he does get down with them, but they tackled him this year. He got down off the stage. It was not planned. The kids just started piling on top of him. We actually worried he might not get out from under.
Yeah, so next year that may not happen.
I don't know. He's a great guy. He just laughed through it, and I think he actually thought it was fun too. You know, he came out and he's like, okay, you know, he may do it differently next year, but at the same time, his attitude was great, and it was fun. So it wasn't disconcerting.
I love the pictures you sent of him there, and I think it's so wonderful what he does for the Snowball Express. It's amazing. So Rochelle and I are going to look at the Bible today, and that's a huge topic, right? When we start thinking about the Bible just in itself, you think about how many people wrote it over the number of years that the Bible has been written, and it becomes an overwhelming topic for us in many ways. So we're going to look at basically two things, as well as the blog that started this conversation. We want to deal with the question, why should we read the Bible? And then we also want to talk about how to read the Bible or ways to read the Bible. And Rochelle has already warned me that she's going to challenge me on this one. And so be prepared. It should be a lot of fun. And when we get to that part of the podcast as well. But we want to talk about, and we're going to start here in a moment, talking about our joys and our struggles with ourselves with the discipline of reading the Bible. We don't want to give a false opinion of, you know, like just because I'm a pastor, you know, I it's easy to read the Bible and I do it every day because I really like doing it and get up and however. But I'll talk more about that in a moment. The blog that serves as the basis for this devotion is called Fascinated by Fire. You will find a link to that blog in the show notes, plus the picture that's there. It's a picture of a girl sitting on her father's shoulders at this last Labor Day's balloon liftoff here in Colorado Springs, the Hot Air Balloon Festival. And I'll explain more about that in the last segment of the podcast. The Praying with the Eyes podcast is a ministry of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado, where I am pastor, along with Pastor Jeffrey Mines and our Director of Growth Ministries, Dan Hampton, and a wonderful staff at Holy Cross. So if you'd like to find out more about Holy Cross, go to our website, holycrosscs.org. The Praying with the Eyes ministry has a website of its own, and we'd love for you to go there. And the purpose of this website is daily devotional blogs. It's a way kind of getting into the Word, too, getting into the Bible. And there's eight of us that write these daily devotional blogs, and we'd love for you to go there, and you can subscribe to it. There's a little button off on the right-hand side. You can subscribe to get one of those devotions sent to you in email every day. So they're short devotions, and we'd love for you to go to that website. If you have questions for Rochelle and me, you can email us at questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com. Again, that's questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com. So a good place for us to begin this conversation about the Bible is for Rochelle and me to get a little bit personal about our own study of the Bible. And I'm going to give mine first because what's neat about this part of the podcast is that we both have different experiences with our dedication to reading the Bible. I struggle a bit with it, and I'll give you a couple of reasons here why I struggle. One is that, and I don't know where to put these in ranking, which one is more important than the other, but I think my seminary education, not intentionally, but doesn't help me, because reading the Bible through my time at the seminary became an academic exercise. You know, you had to read certain books of the Bible. You had to read them in Greek and Hebrew. You had to read commentaries based on those and then discuss them in class and then take tests on them and write papers on them and so forth. So reading the Bible became an academic exercise. Now, that was good stuff to do, and I know it's helped me a great deal in my understanding of the Bible. But I think really even why I struggle more is because I'm a person who's a pretty free spirit. And so I struggle with the discipline of sitting down and reading the Bible. It's like, okay, got to do this. And I don't like to got to do things, whether it's exercise, read the Bible, or eat good food, you know, any of that kind of stuff. I want to be the master of my own time and be free spirit about it. I think those are the things that really get me. So lately I have started to try to discipline myself again. I have a book sitting right next to me now. It's called A Guide to Prayer for Ministers and Other Servants, and it sounds like it's just about prayer, but it really has a lot of scripture reading in it. And so daily there's a scripture reading on a theme based on the coming readings for the Sunday in worship and so forth. And I'm finding that to be helpful for me. So that's I'm doing all the talking here, kind of giving my struggles, but Rochelle, you have a different experience with your discipline of reading the scriptures. You find it a joy.
I do. And as you were talking and as you asked this question, I started to try to think through my whys. And I think it kind of goes along the storyline of how I've gotten to this place, because it used to be more of a struggle. to read. And I remember it, some of it's life stage. When I had young kids, it was hard to find the time. And I really honestly remember saying this one phrase one time, which was, you know, oh gosh, now I got to remember how I worded it. But basically said, you know, told the toddlers to leave me alone. I'm trying to learn about the love of God. You know, hearing that come out of your mouth in that tone kind of goes, okay, maybe that's not the way to do it right now. But, you know, moving from that place of really struggling to find the time, and now I have more time. And I've really, I think it's partly the way we look at it. You look at it as a discipline, which isn't a bad word necessarily, but it's a rote sounding word.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, absolutely. And
so I realize I come to it like it's a conversation. I'm excited. I always, well, I don't always, but I often discover new things when I read it. I'm wondering if some of it's I'm forgetful. I have friends that love me because you can tell me the same story 100 times and it's always new to me because I just can't remember things very well. But I do. I get new discoveries and new gems out of the Bible. So I feel like God is talking to me personally. And I'm wondering if also it is more of a joy for me. I'll be vulnerable in just saying it and just that I don't have a husband. I don't have a lot of adult conversation on a day-to-day basis. I actually don't end up having a lot of time even to spend with friends. I'm wondering if it kind of curbs my loneliness to have a direct link to God just talking with me. It feels like I'm having a good, solid adult conversation every day. So I look forward to it. I get my cup of coffee. I've got my Bible. I snuggle up with blankets and I really act like I'm meeting with someone there. It's not just me reading the Bible. It's me and God having coffee together.
How did you then develop? See, I struggle still when I'm listening to you. I'm going, I still struggle to not read the Bible as a academic book or just a book that I'm trying to gain information out of.
And I wonder if it's some personality. Now, didn't you just... Was it on your, it must have been when you were doing your live conversation. You were talking about Jana sat down to watch the Lord of the Rings movies.
Yes, yes.
You watched parts.
Yeah.
Well, I sit down and I watch the Lord of the Rings movies too, and I love every bit of it.
One, how because can you? So how biblical. Can you?
There's so much. I think I like that type of story, the adventure, the excitement, the surprises, the twists and turns. One, it reminds me very much of Scripture. And that is how I read the Bible. I read it as an adventure book. There's more going on as well within me. But I also just love to read about what God is doing and how he comes in and rescues people or how, you know, there's a struggle and a battle. And it's very visual for me when I read through.
You know,
I don't know that it's always been that way.
I resonate to what you're talking about because what I choose to read in the Bible the most are stories. The Lord of the Rings, and it sounds like I don't like story. I love story. I don't know really what it is about the Lord of the Rings that maybe my ADD kicks in and it's just...
It's
Janice loves dialogue. She likes watching older movies because there was rich dialogue in those movies.
And I think that's really a neat thing. She should be my best friend.
Yes, yes, yes. And I'm sitting there going, oh, I want action. And so I gravitate to the stories of the Bible. And I would think that people probably in my preaching understand that that's where I gravitate. I would gravitate toward reading and preaching on one of the gospel readings or an Old Testament reading that's a narrative story rather than one of Paul's letters. I find preaching on Paul's letters too much of an academic exercise for me again. So I don't know. But it sounds like for you, it doesn't matter what part of the Bible you're reading.
I tend to like the Old Testament oftentimes more than the New Testament for that reason. But there's other reasons for enjoying the New Testament. I guess I would connect with it on a different in a different place.
Well, in one sense, you can read Paul's letters as a part of his story. If you do that, I think it helps, instead of just reading it as detached from his life. Because there's always a setting behind every one of his letters there, with him and the community that he's writing to. So that you can make that into a story and understand that. And I tried to do that a bit with my Ephesians study. What's that?
I'm just thinking, I asked for Christmas for an architectural Bible study.
Oh, interesting.
Bible. And it is, because it adds to the story. Again, I've got pictures of what the area looks like in all the archaeological diggings and things. So I can read up on what they've found to match up. And that also, again, adds to the picture.
Fascinating.
So I like that.
Well, you know, listeners, you may resonate with both of us or one of us in your struggles to read the Bible or joys in reading the Bible. We want to enhance your desire to get into this book. What's so great about the Bible? It is an amazing book for us to get into. And even though I struggle with it, I know that word changes my life. So when we come back from this break, we're going to deal with the question, why read the Bible? It starts at a very basic place, and we'll use a couple of scripture passages to form our discussion. We'll be back in a moment.
Are you looking for a place where you are welcomed as you are? A place where your thoughts are welcomed as well as your doubts? A place where you can talk about God without being judged? Then I invite you to join in the life-changing experience of Life Tree Cafe. At Life Tree Cafe, you will spend an hour gathering with others to experience a host-led discussion over topics ranging from serious, fun, and quirky. For more information about Life Tree Cafe and for a location near you, visit their website at www.lifetreecafe.com. If you live in the Colorado Springs community, you are more than welcome to join us at Holy Cross for one of three Life Tree experiences on Monday or Tuesday over the lunch hour from 11:45 to 12:45 or on Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. Life Tree Cafe. Come join the conversation.
Maybe we've raise some thoughts in your mind at this point, and you'd like to share those with us, we would encourage you to once again email us with any thoughts, questions you have as we move through this important topic. And you can email us at questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com. So as I closed out that last segment, we mentioned that we want to bring scripture into the discussion of the Bible itself, because the Bible does talk about itself. And Jesus, I want to start with words of Jesus in John chapter 5, verses 39 to 40. This passage will also be in the show notes, so if you want to look at it there, the link to Bible Gateway will be there for this passage. Anyway, as seems like it's often the case, especially in John's gospel, Jesus is having a conflict with the religious leaders, and it's gone on for quite a while. It's basically been dealing with his relationship with the Father, and that they're not getting it, that Jesus has been sent from the Father, and they see that as blasphemy. I don't think that's used in the text, but they struggle with that concept. And then toward the middle of this conversation in John 5:39 through 40, Jesus says to these religious leaders, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life." And Jesus is saying saying in that comment that the scriptures, and here of course we're talking about the Old Testament, we know as the Old Testament, and then we would also apply for us to the New Testament, that the words of the Bible point to Jesus. That's the most important thing of the Bible, is that it points to him, who he is, and what he's done for us. A little bit later in that same discussion, Jesus tells the leaders, you know, that if you believed Moses, meaning that the first five books of the Bible, which they held most sacred, if you'd believed Moses, then you would have believed. They would have believed in Jesus, because Moses writes about Jesus. And so, when we read the Bible, we want to see it as pointing to Him. Rochelle, you got any comments about that?
I mean, I'm trying to think if they're following, but yeah, I do. you just made me think of that's one of the motivators for reading the Bible at all, not just. It's getting to know who Jesus is, because And I'm thinking about the Pharisees, and they, what Jesus is saying here is, you know all the rules, but you don't understand the why behind the rules. You don't understand God's heart. And so reading the Bible teaches us God's heart. And we find that by looking for Jesus in there. Because in life, not everything we're dealing with is directly, you know, spoken in the Bible. You don't see, deal with this situation by doing A. But the more you get to know Jesus and his heart, you can say, this is how Jesus would want me to handle this situation. Is that making sense?
Yeah, it does. What struck me in what you said about the religious leaders, about them knowing the rules of the Bible, the laws, it's funny because even when you look at the first five books of the Bible, what's it really teaching us? It's teaching us about who God is. And they focused on the rules and not on this revelation of the God who had called them out of slavery in Egypt. And I think we do that as Christians, too. I think we can see the Bible as this rule book. The main point of the Bible is for us to get to know Jesus better. And getting to know Jesus better, we understand who God is. And when we get to know Jesus, what we see in him is his death, his resurrection, and the forgiveness that God has given us. So we see the merciful heart of God, not the punishing heart of God.
Right. We truly see, as I said in my bad voice to my toddlers, but we do. We learn about the love of God. We really begin to understand what that means and how deep and huge his love for us is.
So when we, the reason for reading the Bible, why we should read the Bible is an issue of intimacy, right? Intimacy with God.
Absolutely.
It's a good word, not a bad word. And yet that can be scary too.
It can be. And that would be, you know, if we were going back to one of the reasons some people don't want to read it is because they know it's intimate. It's an intimate meeting with God, and becoming that vulnerable with the one who can see everything about you is scary. He might ask you to change something. He might want, or you just feel condemned by it, even though you should not feel, you know, originally you worry that you'll be condemned.
Right, right.
Come before but him in that level of intimacy.
In the next passage that we're going to deal with talks about kind of that issue of reproof. That's a good thing, which you were mentioning, but that's different than condemnation. You know, but we'll talk about that in a moment. But it's that intimacy that we have. And yeah, sometimes it does scare us. And maybe it scares us to the point that we read the Bible for different reasons, different motivations for reading the Bible. And so let's spend a little bit of time here of reasons why we should not be motivated or things that should not motivate us. I should say it that way. That should not motivate us to read the Bible. And I've got a few here. Rochelle has some too. And so we'll take it on. One of the things that I think people read the Bible to try to pull out of it is so that they can have a happy life. You know, we should not be motivated to read the Bible so that we can have a happy life. That all the sadness and the drama and the of life will automatically disappear and I will have heaven on earth. That's kind of where I'm going with that.
Right. And it's not a realistic, it's not going to happen that way. So it's not a good motivation.
No, it's not, but yet why then do we have books and blogs and things using the Bible to say 5 steps for a happy marriage?
I don't know. I mean, those things just make me angry. I can't, other than that they're taglines that attract people, hopefully when they start to read it, they realize, oh, you know, it is deeper than just follow these steps and you'll be happy.
But. Right, right. I do think, though, so now I don't want to give our listeners the opinion that the Bible doesn't speak about marriage. It absolutely does. Has a great deal to say to us. It's not like the gospel of God's love for us in Jesus Christ gets rid of all the things the Bible says about how we ought to treat each other in marriage. It's not that at all. It's still there, and God means what he says in the Word, but we keep our eyes focused on Jesus as the center of it. It's not. See, I could have come up with the same five steps that would make us happy or similar that have nothing to do with Christ any relationship to him.
Right. And the only guarantee is Christ. The other things help. And like you said, what's in the Bible about marriage will enhance our marriage. If we do what God says, he tells us to do those things, to make our lives better. So if your life is better, you probably will be happier. But well, and not the motivation for it.
And when we talk about marriage specifically, Paul uses it as the greatest example for our relationship with God. That's why one of the reasons why he takes our marriages so seriously. But you had some ideas too about what should not motivate us to read the Bible.
I did. Actually, one I wrote down here is to tell other people how to live. I don't know how many people, including myself, who read scripture and say, "Ooh, I need to give this to so and so." That shouldn't be our motivation, should it?
No, you just a little tangent on that is, I don't hear this very often. And okay, in fact, I'm going to say that I've heard it, but I don't remember the last time. But when somebody after a sermon says, "Yeah, that was a great sermon. So and so should have heard that,"
right?
No, God was speaking to you. I love that. Yeah. I think we're all tempted to do that.
Oh, I think we do it all. I think that's why so many people have problems with Christians, is Christians spend so much time telling non-Christians how they should live rather than really paying attention to how they themselves are interacting with the Bible. So definitely.
And when you and I think about that, if we're applying that message, it's God speaking to me, then it changes my behavior, which is actually going to change my relationship to that person that I'm saying ought to hear what the Bible has just said.
Right. Absolutely.
Which is going to be more powerful. So let's leave that area for a second. There's a lot more we could take on, but I want to go to the second Bible passage. So let's go back and again, understand. We're talking about the issue of why do we read the Bible, and the most important reason for reading the Bible is to be intimate with Jesus, to know him better, and by getting to know him, to know the Father's heart, which is for mercy for us, for forgiveness, for grace that he wants to pour out on us. So then we turn to Paul in 2 Timothy 3, 14 through 17, and I love to say this about 2 Timothy because it's important as again, back to story, part of Paul's story here. 2 Timothy was the last letter Paul wrote. He's in a dungeon at this time, not the imprisonment at the end of Acts where it's in Rome, and he has imprisonment there in Rome. This is now in a dungeon, and he knows that he's going to die, and we believe that he was beheaded for his faith in Jesus Christ. He could not be crucified because he was a Roman citizen, and so he would be beheaded, and he knows time was up. And Timothy's a young pastor, and he knows what's going to happen to Paul, and he needs encouragement. He's a good friend and faithful minister with Paul, and so Paul writes to his friend Timothy, saying, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work." And the emphasis by Paul on for Timothy to know the scriptures, to know to continue in that faith that he's learned. And he talks about, first of all, the inspired. And we believe in the Christian community that every word of Scripture has been inspired or breathed into us or breathed out by the Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean, I got to say this real quickly, it doesn't mean that we believe that, for example, Mark, when he wrote his gospel, that he was in a trance when he wrote it. And he wrote with this God dictating to him what it is. No, every word, as he recalls the stories, every word that he writes has been inspired by the Holy Spirit for our benefit. And that inspiration takes on variety. So we have four gospel writers that say things from a different perspective. And that's by God breathing it out. So what does it do? So let's go back to this word of teaching, he says. And here, the Bible reveals to me who God is. I think people, maybe that's another reason why people don't want to read the Bible, afraid to know who God is.
Maybe because they have been told who God is and it's not the truth, so they think that's what they will see.
Oh, that's an interesting thought, too. Yeah.
And because knowing truly who God is wonderful. It's so relieving. What I'm just thinking about, too, as we're reading through this, when Paul wrote this, we didn't have scripture in the form we have it now. So I'm just trying to picture, you know, I know there's people that don't believe the Old Testament's all that relevant anymore, but obviously that's a good portion of what he's talking about to Timothy is Old Testament scripture, and also that he needed to learn it, which is something else that I think should be a part of reading it, is taking it in and memorizing some of it. So that we have it.
I agree with that. You know, and you'll get people who argue, well, I don't need to memorize scripture, or it's too much work to memorize scripture. No, we memorize things we want to memorize. You talk to a teenager and hey, what's your favorite song? Oh, it's this. Well, how's it go? And they'll give you every word of it. They've memorized it, you know, and so we memorize things we want to, that we're interested in, and that are beneficial to our lives. And so I totally agree with you. Memorization is not just about rote knowing it. It's about taking it into our lives and then being able to throughout the day, and even if it's not always word for word, maybe we've paraphrased some of it in our lives, it's still a good thing.
It is. And I do like how you're saying that. It basically, it does come down to memorizing what you're interested in. So not just picking any old verse, but if you're reading along and something really stands out to you, why not memorize that? It'll be so much easier, and it will continue to speak to you. So
and that was just. And you and I firmly believe that when we read the Bible, that we do. God does reveal to us who He is, and we can understand a bit about God by looking at nature, absolutely, but. It only reveals a portion of who God is. It doesn't reveal to us this really merciful God. In fact, if you really study nature and you watch any of the BBC Blue Earth or whatever, it's pretty vicious. And I remember still watching this one episode of a orca that had killed a seal or a sea lion, I don't know which, and then was playing with it after it was dead. Throwing it up in the air, and it was just like, oh, yeah, this is such a loving place. This is a Disney world we live in. No, it's not. But that you still only see. But we see the gracious and merciful God when we read the Bible. God reveals Himself to us. So let's take the second one on here. We're talking about reproof, and this will be the last. We won't be able to get into all four of these areas, but we need to talk about this reproof. Well, we'll talk about reproof and correction and the difference between them. When Paul says it's good for reproof, there he's talking about the behavior that you and I have that will actually lead us to a point where we no longer believe in Jesus, where we reject Him. So the Bible has a way of reproving us. It's more than just correction. Correction is when we're there's some things about our life that aren't in accord with God's word and may give us a false concept of people or how we interact with people or so forth. And the Bible gets us back on track again. So the reproof is more stern. It deals with the reality that some of our behavior may drive us away, and sometimes we need correction. And I think that's important. I need that.
I definitely need it. And those are the friends I appreciate most are the ones that are going to tell me the truth. And that's kind of what I see it is. It speaks truth, whether you like it or not. Is that?
And truth is good. And when you think about, well, I like it or not, that's irrelevant. That's just about feeling. It's still truth. And there's roots in truth. It's a foundation. Truth becomes a foundation for us to build our life on. In a world today that says truth is relative, you're not building your life on anything but sand. You know, and the truth of Scripture becomes that. The words of Christ, as He said in a sermon on the mountain, chapter 7, about the building your life on His words, you know, it's a real good foundation. So we're going to take a break. And in this next segment, we're going to talk about how to read the Bible, and it's going to get a little testy. We'll be back in a moment.
At Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado, we encourage those who hunger to be nourished by God. We believe that true nourishment for our lives is met in our Creator and Redeemer God. At Holy Cross, we proclaim the message that our God desires intimacy with us through His Son, Jesus Christ, and that worship is an experience of this intimacy. To find out more about our worship styles and times, visit our website at www.holycrosscs.org. That again is holycrosscs.org. And if you don't live in the Colorado Springs community or you are part of a different Christian community, we encourage you to join with God's people as He nourishes His relationship with you.
So we've gone to Scripture. We've talked about why reading the Bible is important, about that intimacy with God and getting to know God through Christ and His grace and mercy toward us, because Jesus is the focus of the Scriptures. We talked about the fact that as Paul talked about to Timothy, that as it leads us to salvation, it then produces it teaches us, it reproves us, it corrects us, and trains us for a right living. Now we want to talk about the nuts and bolts of how to read the Bible. And so if you have questions and thoughts, again, please email us at questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com. Anyway, in this discussion, since I put the outline together, I get to choose the metaphors. And so the metaphor we're going to use in this is that of photography. Surprise, surprise, right? I'll have ideas in the show notes. And at the end of our last segment, Rochelle, I said that we're going to might get a little testy. And during that break, Rochelle says to me, what if it doesn't get testy? And it may not, because
it was such a high standard. Now what?
You know, but it did get a little testy as we were prepping for this.
And I think you were testy. I was fine.
No, you were. You're the one who started it. You were the one who said, I'm going to challenge you on these thoughts. And my male ego was crushed by that. And then you started telling me why. And who made the change in this? Who made the change in their way of thinking? Me, not you.
Fine. Let's just continue forward. We'll see what happens.
So let's say you've been given this amazing camera, a Sony A7 R Mark II. The hint, hint, I don't have that camera, and it's on my wish list somewhere down the road. Actually, it's going to be probably the next generation, the Mark III, which will even be a better camera, right? But you get this camera, and you don't know photography that well. You just know you like to take pictures. And you open it up, you see all the dials, the buttons, this menu system. Sony has an incredibly difficult menu system in their cameras, and it becomes overwhelming immediately for you. And so what you do is, some people do this, they will take that camera, put it on a shelf, and just use it as a decoration in their house. But we don't want to have that. And sometimes that happens with people in the Bible. It again, as we've mentioned before, it's got all these different authors, different time periods, and you got the Old Testament, New Testament, and it can become very overwhelming when you're just sitting down and reading it. So I want to take on this idea of how to start reading it, like you might approach taking that Sony A7 R2 and using that camera. So go ahead first of all, Rochelle, and I'm going to let you explain what your it's not a problem, because I don't think it's a problem you have with my approach. Your concern with my approach, and I think it's actually, when I say that, I think Rochelle's got a very valid concern.
The only concern really was that, well, there's two. One, there's different personality types, so different people will resonate at, they want to do it differently. Different things work for different people. And my biggest concern was that it looked like a list of rules, and rules make it harder, not easier.
And I needed to hear that, because right away I said, they're not rules, they're suggestions. And they really are suggestions. And I was looking at it from the point, I'm looking at this now, and I'm going to have these in the show notes again, these ideas for you. I was looking at it from the standpoint that of somebody who really doesn't know where to begin and how to start. And so these are suggestions for how to. And they're actually based on something that's very important to me that we just talked about in the last segment. And that is, I'm going to say it differently. And stay with me on this. Where you enter into the Bible, meaning what your thought patterns are and your ideas are and what you're looking for, out of the Bible will determine what you get out of the Bible. And so I always want to go back to the center of Scripture being Jesus Christ. And so these suggestions are based on that. And just real quickly, the reason what I mean by that, if you're an atheist and you read the Bible, you're going to come in with preconceived ideas of that there isn't a God, and so you can read the Bible from that perspective. And there are many atheists who have read the Bible over, not just once, but many times. And that's what they get out of the Bible, and that determines for it. If I'm reading the Bible to find out how to get rich, I'll probably gravitate toward Proverbs and read every passage in there that talks about money. So I'm saying, let's start in this process with understanding we enter into the Bible to get to know Jesus better, and then through Jesus to understand who God is, because Jesus is God.
Here's the testy part, because I agree with you, of course. And at the same time, my other argument was reading it at all is better than not reading it at all. So even if we're not doing it from the right heart, even if it's the atheist approaching the Bible, God still will speak.
Yeah, but what if it does damage to somebody's life because I read it wrong?
It's not my problem. That's God's problem.
But you said it's better to read it than not read it.
Exactly. It's better to read it than not read it. That's what it comes down to me. So even if I'm not doing it completely right,
now, Michelle,
it's still better.
Michelle, I'm assuming, though, that the people listening to our podcast are people who really do want to understand and get to know God better. So
we can go ahead and go through your suggestions. Yeah, I want to say that
I think that there's validity what you're saying. I just have a caution, because I think sometimes when we enter the Scriptures, where we can be very damaging to people or even to our own lives. But then again, I hear what you're saying, and trust that the Holy Spirit is not going to let the Word come back to him in vain. So let's start. The first step I see as important in this, a suggestion, not a rule, suggestion, is to start with what matters most. And I've been talking about reading the Bible in the context of Christ. But so if I have my camera, I'm going to take out the manual. And the first thing I need to do, if I'm overwhelmed by it, is just keep it simple, put it in program mode, find out how to put it in program mode, turn it on, and start taking pictures. And just go out and take to your heart's delight, take pictures. So that's the purpose you have the camera, is to take pictures. And so start very simple. And so my suggestion would be simply to open your Bible to one of the gospel writers and start there, because they're going to talk to you about who Jesus is. That doesn't make it easy, because there's no book in the Bible that won't challenge you. But for me, Rochelle, if I were to do this, I would start with Mark's gospel, because I'm a guy of action. Remember, we talked about that earlier. And Mark's gospel is a gospel of action. It's the Jesus who does things and doesn't spend a lot of time in dialogue. So if you were to encourage somebody who said, hey, I don't know what book of the Bible to read, and I want to know more about Jesus, what book would you encourage them to read?
And it's interesting. If I'm picking a gospel, I like them all. I think I'd probably point people to Luke as my favorite, because I just like the way he approaches situations. And I know when I've read other suggestions to start with a gospel, most of them suggest John first. But I find John pretty flowery.
Okay, so you and I are actually going to agree then on something. I've heard so many people say start with John. I find John, the depth of conversation that Jesus has, if you don't have some other background to it, it's so difficult to understand. Granted, you have John 3:16, for God so loved the world, and so forth. But I think it's the last of the gospel writers I would have people read.
Yeah, I like reading it knowing more about John, just because it makes me chuckle. You know, the disciple whom Jesus loved.
Yeah, well, yeah, yeah.
Yes, he loved you, but he loved all of you.
Something else you might consider doing is then, when you read it, is to find somebody to talk with about it, because we can read it and it's that's really good, and the Holy Spirit will use it absolutely without question. But sometimes our mind gets going, and finding someone who's mature in the faith to talk with it could be really good. So that's number one. Number two, I would suggest again, not demand, suggest, is to face your fears and go a little deeper. And what's interesting is, as soon as I wrote that, I thought, you know, that doesn't apply to everybody. So let's put back in the camera world, and I'm going to take two sides of this coin. So you start taking pictures. You've got in program mode, and you're saying, oh, okay, good. Some people have a fear of going any deeper than that, so they spend their life just taking pictures in program mode, and they don't utilize this amazing camera. And so I'm suggesting, you know, open up the manual and just go to a thing called shutter priority mode and learn this thing about the aperture and adjusting. I'm not going to go into any detail about that, but just to go a little deeper. It's still the same camera. It's not changing anything. It's just giving you a new world. And yet, on the other hand, I had to think about that for a second and said, if I had that camera and I learned to shoot pictures in the program mode, I am like you, Rochelle, I'm going to want to know more. I'm going to take that camera and I'm going to learn how to use the other settings, because I have a desire to do that. I think you got both here that could happen to people when they start reading the Bible.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Because people could be fearful in that level.
Well, people that could be fearful about going deeper in Scripture, as well as people who just have this hunger all of a sudden. I saw it. My sweet mate in college, he was not planning to become a pastor, but God got a hold of him his freshman year. And I remember he was talking about just this ravenous desire to read more of the Bible. And there are people that have that as well.
Yeah, and I agree. And there are some fears, because it is facing yourself. And as I was looking at, you know, digging deeper in things, I think it's less fearful if you're doing that, to recognize it again as a conversation. So as you're reading, ask God questions about what you're reading. Sometimes you're afraid to go deeper because you just don't understand it. There's a lot of really confusing things going on, or things that Jesus says that just don't always seem like what you expect.
And so by going deeper, I'm going to suggest that people might just find a different book, like Romans, or maybe staying in the New Testament or going into the Old Testament, and just they got that base now and start reading other parts of the Bible.
Reading other parts, and maybe just picking how you're going to, like you said, try to find if you're going to go into another scripture, well, how does this point to Jesus? And what is God asking me to do here? And how, you know, I don't know, ask. This is where the conversation for me comes in. That's what it is.
It's now, hold on that. Hold on to that for a second, because you're getting ahead of me.
I'm so sorry.
You're getting to number four, where you get to you get to speak on that, because I really want you to, because I know that this is part of why reading the Bible is so important to you. So I'm going to move us along a little quicker here and go to the third point. And then maybe you want to read. Now, this isn't for everybody. I'll agree with you on this point. This may not be for everybody, but you might want to challenge yourself to read the entire Bible. And then you, because you got a base now, something to build on and things. I've known people, and I've done this myself when I've said I'm going to read the Bible through, that when we get to the middle of the first five books, somewhere around Leviticus, maybe even back in Exodus, we stop because it's so confusing. All the laws and regulations and that have no relevance really to my daily life. And so there's some good plans out there. You might want to go find one that seems more suitable for you, but you might challenge yourself to read the entire Bible.
Well, and I'll add a couple things with that. One, it's numbers. Numbers that's hard, because it's just numbers.
Yep.
That's the book. But in challenging, this is, I guess, one of my hard ones is I realize I make my own rules. Like, oh, I'm going to read a chapter a day. And then if I actually feel like reading more, I've caught myself stopping myself because my rule was one a day. So giving yourself permission to read it however you want. If I feel like reading more today, fine. If I just want to read a little bit today because it's confusing and I can only get through a few passages, fine. But not
Grace,
I find it's hardest to read the entire Bible if you try to follow somebody else's plan.
You know, for some of us, go back to different personalities. Some of us have to have that goal of saying, I will read it by the end of the year. I'll start January 1, and December 31st, I will be finished. And that's good. I'm not that way. I can't do that. I've tried it, and I think maybe I've done it once. But I say maybe. I don't think I still had to go into to later in the year. I did that. I had a goal to read the New Testament in Greek in a year, and it took me a year and a half. I did it, but you know, sometimes some of us there's different ways for us. I gotta get to this last point though before we end the segment.
Okay, go.
And I kind of left there the camera stuff for a while because the last one I would say was put the in number three, challenge yourself to read the entire Bible. For me, that means put your camera in manual mode, which is the most wide open mode. You got your full control of the camera then. But anyway, so four, pray. And this is kind of an interesting thing I do with my photography. So I got all the things down. I'm still growing on a lot of areas. So don't get me wrong about photography. But I do this with my photography. I make it a spiritual exercise many times. And I've mentioned this before that when I will go out on a photo shoot, especially a landscape shoot, I will ask God to surprise me and try to make it become a spiritual activity where God is interacting with me through that. But this is where I really think you have a lot to share with us, because you haven't said this directly to me, but I know you, and I think that you make your time in the Word prayer time.
Yeah, and it's funny because I don't think about it that way. But that is what it is, because I do. I start with prayer and ask God to show me and speak to me what He wants me to hear, that make me aware of what He's saying.
Can you give us an idea of how, when you're reading the scriptures, what might be, how it might spark a prayer?
It's back to as I'm reading. It's a conversation. I talk back to God. I read the scripture, and if I'm confused, I say it out, you know, in my head or out loud. Lord, I don't understand this. What are you trying to say? Or, okay, I just read this and nothing. What's this mean for me? I don't understand why I had to read this, Lord. Is there a point to this? Just like I would talk to you. If you're rambling and I don't feel like there's a reason for it, I'm going to ask you.
Which is most of the time.
I'm going to ask you, what does this mean to me? Why are you telling me this?
Yeah.
And I do the same thing with God. And I do. I really believe He answers me very specifically. And that's one of the main reasons I enjoy reading the Bible. I really believe God is speaking back to me every time, even those days when it's not super clear. But I ponder it throughout the day, too. So if I didn't get anything while I'm reading, at the end of the reading time, I'll say, Lord, will you show me in my day how this works?
I wanted to talk about that, because for me, those drier moments of reading the scriptures when it's disconnected from prayer. And last week, that's why Psalm 148, I think, was so important to me. And this week, too, the point of Psalm for me to read throughout this week is 128. And it's talking about family. So I found that this morning, even though I was kind of rushed for time to get through my devotion, was praying for my family, because there's parts of about family. It's all about blessings. And I found myself just not even consciously realizing I made a choice to do it, but all of a sudden moving off into prayer. I just see prayer as being a vital part of what makes the Bible so great, because God is speaking to us in it. He causes us to speak back to Him. And so this dialogue begins.
Yeah, and I absolutely agree with you. I think that's what makes it what it is. It's a dialogue. It's not just Him lecturing us. It's Him interacting with us. And if you read it that way, it's very exciting. Especially the first time you really recognize God is speaking directly to you. This verse is straight to your heart. How exciting is that? The creator of the universe just said something to me.
It's true.
It's amazing.
It is. So we're going to take a break again, get back to our last segment for this podcast. And we're going to talk about a blog entitled Fascinated by Fire.
Are you looking for a place where you are welcomed as you are? A place where your thoughts are welcomed as well as your doubts? A place where you can talk about God without being judged? Then I invite you to join in the life-changing experience of Life Tree Cafe. At Life Tree Cafe, you will spend an hour gathering with others to experience a host-led discussion over topics ranging from serious, fun, and quirky. For more information about Life Tree Cafe and for a location near you, visit their website at www.lifetreecafe.com. If you live in the Colorado Springs community, you are more than welcome to join us at Holy Cross for one of three Life Tree experiences on Monday or Tuesday over the lunch hour from 11:45 to 12:45 or on Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. Life Tree Cafe. Come join the conversation.
During that break, Rochelle made a very good point that we just want to make a small comment about before we head into the section. And she says translation matters. But you said, Rochelle, that probably not in the way most people think of translations, different translations of the Bible.
Right. Well, a lot of when I say translation matters, what I hear is the argument that you've got to get the right translation, the one that's closest to what they really wrote. And I think that's important when you're at a certain point in reading the Bible. But I think when you're just trying to get yourself to read, if the translation you're working with isn't easy for you to read, get one that's easier. Any translation will do as long as it gets you reading.
There's always going to be difficult parts of Scripture. There are. It's just Luther's advice was when you run into those, go on to a different part of Scripture that you do understand. You
know, right. That's another thing that it's not a rule. You don't have to. When you're reading through the Bible, if it's not really easy, read through it quickly like you would
exactly other things. and for some people King James English is easy to read and it means a lot to them. For others, it's the New Living Bible that's really a lot easier to read. I don't know. There's a whole
other. So I guess it's just permission not to be stuck.
Right. And there's a whole other conversation about translation, what translation is. When people say, and I'm going to take a squirrel moment for a second, when people say get a translation that's closest to the original, meaning Hebrew, a little bit of Aramaic, and Greek. That sounds good in theory, but language, when you're taking one language and translating into another language, you forget that languages are fluid, and meaning that words change meaning throughout history. And so that's an aspect of it. And things aren't said the same way. There's different sentence structure, and so conveying the meaning of the text sometimes means a little bit more freer translation than a word-for-word translation. Word-for-word translations are not always the best at getting across the meaning of what the writer wrote. Anyway, that's my soapbox. If you have questions, again, please email us at questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com. So the picture that you can find in the show notes and the blog is also linked to in the show notes is a picture I took this September in Colorado Springs on Labor Day. We have this thing. It used to be called the Balloon Classic. There was the organizers of it quit, and it was a threat we wouldn't have this hot air balloon festival again, but we didn't miss a beat. The next year, it got changed to the Labor Day liftoff, different people organizing it, and it's growing again. Over 65 hot air balloons are here over Labor Day weekend, 3 days on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday in the morning, if the weather permits. They launch into the sky, and the neat thing about it is you get to stand right there with them. You know, you got to get out of their way when the balloons are taking off, but you get to watch them do all the stuff, how they fill the air, the balloon first with just air with these massive fans. And then they start the propane and fill it up with hot air and set it up and take off. And everybody applauds when they take off. And then you get the sky filled with these balloons. And some do what's called a splash and dash in Prospect Lake. They'll let their gondolas down into the water, some a little bit more than they should. And then they take back off into the sky. It's a great day. Well, I was out this year, and the balloons weren't able to launch because it was a beautiful day. And it seemed like they should be able to launch. But they weren't letting them launch because the upper atmosphere winds weren't in the right direction. But they got their balloons filled up. And so I'm by this one balloon, and there's a lot of us gathered around it. And this little girl's up on the shoulders of her dad. And the pilot of the hot air balloon is filling it with propane, the fire, and every time the fire makes a different, if you love images, you create each time a different image in your brain. And this girl was fascinated by the sound and the sight of this pilot filling the air with hot air, filling the balloon with hot air. And so it reminded me that fire going into the balloon of what happened to Moses in Exodus 3, 2 through 3, where we read, "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. He looked," and that's Moses, "and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned." So, Rochelle, you've read that story, I know. And what, when you read it, what image do you have? How does this story take place?
I think I get theatrical.
Yes, because that's your background.
Yeah. So I see him kind of like walking around and seeing it in the distance, and it just keeps going. So feeling the need. But even the, do you feel like it's kind of a washed down version? I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. You know, in today's language, I'm not sure we're allowed to say it. You know, what the?
What the heck, right?
Right. What is that? I just want to see him maybe wandering closer and closer to it. Like, what's going on here? And just being fascinated by something different in the desert. Let's really think about what his day normally was like.
Absolutely. Because he was taking care of his father-in-law's sheep, you know, and out there by himself. Maybe some other shepherds around with him too, you know, whatever. The text doesn't say, it's an argument from silence at that point. But anyway, he's out there. And I'm like you, I see it theatrically too. And I see it kind of at dusk. So the light is going to happen. It'll be a little brighter. Sharp. Yeah. And it is going to be much more startling. And I watch Moses get closer and closer. And then when the angel of the Lord speaks to him out of the bush, I see him wetting his pants, you know.
How big is the bush? Yeah. How big are you picturing?
I picture it as, you know, here's the problem with flannel graphs that I grew up with. There's only going to be certain sizes to fit on the flannel graph, right? Some of you don't even know what I'm talking. I'm not going into that. But anyway, so I have this inherent way of seeing this small, but it may not have been.
It could have been a big old bonfire, right?
Without being consumed, right? So it's this fascinating picture that we've got there. And here's one another side note of why to read the Bible and take your time with it. It's good for us to sit here and picture the story in our brain. It doesn't mean it has to be right or whatever, correct as to what really happened, because none of us can. But the Bible is meant to create those pictures in our mind. Story always does. And it's good to take some time.
Yeah.
So Moses is fascinated by it, and he hears the word of God coming out of that bush, and he's fascinated. So he's fascinated by it. And
do you think he thought he was crazy?
I'm not sure if he thought at that moment. I wonder if when he reflected, you know, was that real? Did I have gas? You know,
too much time on the desert.
Really, too much. One of the mirage, you know, of what from being out there. God wants us, I feel though, to have that same fascination with His Word, and turning toward it, not away from it, even when it reproves us or corrects us, that God wants us to be drawn closer to Him. Because if you follow Moses' life, it wasn't always a good word He spoke to him. God got really frustrated with Moses.
He did. Yeah, yeah.
And at the burning bush.
And I think that's even a good reason to read the Bible right there, is to see that the people God loved the most, that, you know, are supposed to be God's really strong people, they're really messed up. And I'm not so bad.
And to the point that Moses couldn't even enter into the promised land. You know, he wasn't able, because he messed up. You know, he didn't obey God. And it happened. And I relate to that, you know. We can all relate to that. But God was still gracious and merciful and kind to him and so forth. Yeah, it's just important. So the last point we got to talk about, and I told Rochelle that as I put this outline together, I have purposely kept this to the very end because I want you to hear this as important in this whole area of why, what's so great about the Bible. You see, I know the Holy Spirit will use every single word of the Bible to do the things that Paul talks about in 2 Timothy. The Holy Spirit is at work in the Bible, and I can be absolutely confident of that. to me, that's so powerful.
It is, and I apologize because you vocally popped out for a second.
Well, that's because I got these push notifications that are coming up on my computer today. My computer's busy. So, okay. Do we need to be conscious that the Holy Spirit is doing it, or is it just something it's a given and we know the Holy Spirit is using that word to mold and shape our lives?
I think being conscious of it helps us, one, again, to communicate with Him in prayer, that He's the one doing the work, and two, understanding why there are people that don't get it at all, that it makes no sense to. We need to recognize that if they don't have the Holy Spirit and they're reading God's word, the Holy Spirit will speak to them, but not as loudly, as well, as clearly as He speaks to those of us that have the Holy Spirit. So it might not make sense to a non-Christian what you just said, even John 3:16.
And yet at the same time, I love you saying that. I think that's good. And I'm thinking about the person that doesn't know Christ and reads the Bible, and why you were absolutely right when you said sometimes it doesn't matter how, just read it. And here the hope is that in reading the Word, even to that unbeliever, the Holy Spirit will take a passage or a story and use it to bring that person to faith in Christ.
Absolutely, because that is how He works, right?
That's right.
That's how He calls
us. So thank you for being with us on this podcast. We're very grateful for the time that you take every time a podcast comes out. Again, these podcasts come out twice a month, on the 1st and the 15th of every month, and sometimes a little later than that, but that, you know, schedules get in the way sometimes. Anyway, we thank you for listening. You can email us at questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com if you have questions or thoughts you'd like to share with us about this podcast. Again, this podcast is a part of the larger ministry of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And you can find out more about our church at our website, holycrosscs.org. HolyCrossCS, as in Colorado Springs.org. You can join me on Mondays. I do on Facebook. I have Monday Morning Muses. Usually have about 300 or so people that throughout, not at that time, but throughout the day, the next couple of days, that watch that and have great comments and dialogue going on about that. I record them at 8 o'clock Mountain Standard Time in the morning, 8 o'clock in the morning. And you're welcome to join us live or watch it later when I post it onto Facebook. We worship here at Holy Cross at 8 o'clock, 9:30, and 11. And love to have you join us with adult Bible classes and children's classes at 9:30. And we have adult classes only, just a couple of them at 11 o'clock. Pastor Jeffrey and I are starting the 6-week sermon series this coming Sunday. And we're looking forward to it. It's going to be on 1 Corinthians. We, in our church, are in what we call the season of Epiphany. Epiphany means the manifestation and the revelation of who Jesus is, and especially that we see Him as the one who is born for all people to be the Savior of the entire world. Our next podcast, Rochelle and I will be joined by author, pastor, and church planter Alan Briggs as we explore his book, Staying is the New Going, a book that I still mull over and has had a great impact on my life. And so look for that podcast coming out the beginning of February, on February 1.
I thought of another reason not to read the Bible, but that might amuse people for you. Is if you're doing a series on 1 Corinthians and we read it ahead of time, we can pick on you on places we think you're wrong.
And knowing you, you would just live for that.
Yeah, there's people. There's people like that.
Thank you for listening. We'll be with you in our next. I look forward to being with you in our next podcast.
Thank you for joining us today on this edition of the Praying with the Eyes podcast. These podcasts are produced by Jason Laird Productions, which you can find online at jasonlairdproductions.com. For thoughts and questions that you might have, please email Doug. That is questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com. Be sure to subscribe to the Praying with the Eyes podcast on iTunes, as well as post a review. We invite you to tell a friend about today's podcast by posting a link on your social media accounts. We look forward to being with you in our next episode.